See? Strokes. Someday. Now, that was a better choice, wouldn't it, start off with? Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen. XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, obviously. Steve Mitchell.
No, come on, let's get my name right from now on. That novelty's worn off.
What is it? Is it?
Steve Merchant.
Oh, yeah, that's the wrong one, isn't it, Mitchell?
The Guardian got it wrong. It's Steve Merchant.
And the more I say Mitchell, the more people are thinking
exactly, it might be Mitchell.
Oh, God. Sorry, Dave. but Carl wanted to start off with the Stereophonics.
Oh, loser.
Because it was a newer track. And Carl now, we've made him what he is. He was nothing when we found him.
He was like work experience.
And now he's going, oh, so we should start off with the Stereophonics. I'm going,
trying to tell you what to do, Ricky.
If I want anyone's opinion, I don't. Basically.
But he'd probably come to me, I imagine, wouldn't he? I'd be the first person.
Before Carl, yeah. I'd consult you, Steve.
Thank
so
you.
Just keep it, just because he was in a, was it Pilkey's Making Music?
Pilkey's Making Music.
I bet you never pleased a crowd once.
Did. Loads of times.
Go on then, what did you play? What's your biggest gig you ever played?
I did like a social club gig.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just about the music either. I used to-
What else could it be about?
I used to take prizes and cigars and stuff.
In a youth club.
To give away.
I just love these like 14-year-old manks hanging out going, let's go down here, you might have some fags and cigars for us.
Well, it was whatever like was on my mum and dad's dressing table.
That could have been embarrassing.
That could have been deeply embarrassing.
You've won.
And third prize, some handcuffs.
And a black mamba. I'm not saying that at any point in your upbringing, your parents left around any kind of marital aid on the dressing table. don't think I'm saying that, Carl. I'm not suggesting- like, he doesn't like this, does he?
Well, I can understand why.
Oh yeah, because it's about his-
About his parents having sex.
Well, they must have.
Yeah,
at least three times.
I think I was an accident.
I think it's been ongoing.
Just because me brother and sister are quite older than me.
Yeah, me too. I was an accident. I know that, yeah. How old's your brother and sister?
I think my sister's about 39.
Right.
And my brother's about 37.
Okay. And you're 29.
I'm like 29.
Right, so, yeah, my next one's 11 years older than me.
Yeah.
That was definitely a-
Do you want to have a hug, you two, or?
Yeah.
You're dealing with it now? You've got over it?
Well, would you like to see us have a hug? Oh. You had a mobile
rubbish.
Disco as well,
You're having a laugh, aren't you? Every single gig I did, it's dynamite. The people loved it. It was storming.
What was it called?
I ran it from about the age of 14 to 18.
What was it called? Was it called in
the name of our mobile disco?
Yeah.
It had two names in its lifetime.
Yeah.
It started its life as, bear with it.
Go on.
The Rock and Roll DJs.
Oh my God. The Rock and Roll DJs, that's the worst. I mean, that's the worst.
Yeah. That's the most appalling. But then it became pretty bad after that when it became the Fantasy Island Roadshow.
Why?
I don't know.
Because everyone up to you looked like Tattoo.
Partly that, and because I liked the program Fantasy Island.
Why did you like the program Fantasy Island?
Well, it was about love on an island.
It was about a midget on an island.
No, the midget was a minor character. About people going to find love and romance. You obviously switched off once the midget had gone off and said, "There's the plane." Oh, that's that then. Your parents went, "That's over then." It's only 5 minutes long. Yeah, well, it's.
Let's watch that fantasy midget.
Yeah.
What happened then? Because didn't they acted out their fantasies on an island?
Well, people would pay to go to the island to live out their own romantic fantasies, and invariably that's what
happened. It was always about getting off.
It was a kind of love island. Yeah.
Was it?
Well, no, not always. Sometimes they might be.
Maybe I didn't watch a whole one. Maybe I did just see him like smack a little tattoo around the head.
I think you just saw the trailer.
really? But, so what did I sort of go? I've always wanted to have someone in.
Well, no, it might be something like, you know, I've always wanted to sort of, you know, live out being a gunslinger in a Wild West frontier town, you know. So you might kind of create that fantasy.
But what's that got to do with
Well, he invariably would find love, or he'd sort out some emotional problem he had. It was much more a spiritual, emotional journey than about little midgets running around.
But was it like, oh, I'd like to be a cowboy, and, like, remember the shag?
Yeah, it was like Jim will fix it. Like those letters you wrote to Jim will fix it. I'd like to meet Five Star, and if something happens, so be it.
Well,
but no, I have to just say once though, this is my DJing credentials. I was once playing music at a scout jamboree. Yeah. When I was about 16, 17.
Big
gig. There was 1,000 scouts there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They were, and I tell you this, we were playing on stuff. They were loving it. They were dancing. It was in a big marquee. Right. Right. I slapped on "Smells Like Teen Spirit."
Yeah.
Right.
They went mad.
They went mad for it. They were moshing. They were climbing at the poles. The organisers were going, "Switch that off. Switch that off." Right. They're going crazy. And I was there going, "No, that's what they like. I'm going to do it." And
it was like Footloose.
It was unbelievable. It was just like Footloose. Then I came in with Rage Against the Machine, "Killing in the Name Of." The place went wild. Yeah. And they were trying to get me off the decks. It was like Bill. It was like Bill Grundy interviewing the Sex Pistols.
And then when the head of the enemy had you killed,
exactly,
like, that was some sort of mafia thing, and it was all hushed up, that the scouts went there one night with all candles and they stood by your grave, and that was the end of the film. It was a film, I assume.
Well, this genuinely happened.
I assume this didn't really happen.
Yes, it did. I swear to God, I was playing Smells Like Teen Spirit, and it went wild, and the organisers were going, "Switch that off, they're going crazy," and I was going, "No, it's what they want."
Can I say something?
It was brilliant.
That, to me, I've known you for about 4 years, yeah, and I've heard all those things. That must be the highlight of your life.
Unbelievably so, yeah.
It's, you've never had anything that good or exciting since, have you?
One day I hope to sleep with a lady, and hopefully that'll, it'll slide into second place.
Rock the Casbah.
I love the fact you had at least 3 minutes to get that right.
I know.
To prepare and get that right.
I know, but my mouth was full of, Maryland cookies.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, last week, this would, oh, this would blow your mind. He came in, do you know what he'd bought for himself, about 10, penguins.
Mm.
He buys penguins still.
I know. Or wagon wheels.
Oh, I've never liked wagon wheels.
You've not been a fan?
No, no, but I'm sorry about that. It's The Clash and Rock the Casbah.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about records, have I told you that time my brother-in-law, he was moving out of his place, and I think moving in with my sister, and I was about, like, I don't know, 13, and so he was about, 30, and I'm moving in, and, he brought round all, his records when he was storage to leave them at our house, right, and he had all these old sort of records, 50s and 60s records, no, I was fine, and they put them upstairs, and I was looking through them, and, it's just all like Elvis stuff and Beatles stuff. And there was a mate of mine who loved Elvis, okay? Right. And he had, loads of chemicals. Yeah, he had loads of chemicals and I was into chemistry. And, he said, "I swap me some chemicals for them." So I sort of nicked about 5 Elvis singles and I got all these chemicals. And then just guilt.
What sort of chemicals?
Just things like, you know, just things like from a chemistry set, just, you know, crystals and metals and magnesium, all that sort of stuff that I just like to muck around with. And, and then the guilt just hit me. I just thought, well, he's gonna notice that. And I just, one night, I just came downstairs and I confessed to my mum. And she went, "All right, well, I won't tell him, but you've gotta be good." And it's sort of like I was just really, really good for a year. And then, I was, have I told you this? And
No, you haven't. You've just reminded me of something.
And then I remember, when I was about 18, my brother was talking about it, and he said, "Did you ever, play those records I left for you?"
Brilliant.
He told my mum, he said, "These are for Ricky." She just didn't tell
she
me.
She was sharp, wouldn't she?
She used opportunism there.
Oh, that's genius.
And, that was it. That's why I was good.
But you've never stolen anything since, have you?
No, I don't.
Except that spate of shoplifting after that to teach your mum a lesson.
Yeah. Well, I went round, arson.
Mm.
No, I did. I just couldn't believe it.
That's
it was
a great
terrible.
Trip.
I remember, and I think all kids go through a phase of shoplifting.
Well.
When I was going through it, I used to just little things, just like magic markers and, magazines, Mars bars, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And,
cigars and dildos.
And one day, right?
Same thing.
My mate, Anthony, his mum called up my mum and said, I've got to meet up with you. I've got to have a word with you. And, she said, "What about?" She said, "I don't want to talk about it over the phone." So she goes, "Oh, right. Well, yeah, come round tonight then." So anyway, my mum sees me. She don't want to be in an awkward position and, like, be a bit embarrassed and what have you. So she sees me and she goes, "Right. Anthony's mum's coming round. What have you been doing?"
Yeah.
So I go, "Oh God," I said, I've been nicking stuff. So she goes, "Like what?" So not big stuff. I've had a few calculators and Mars bars and stuff.
How many? I'll just work it out. Hold on. Works out at 7.2 per day.
How many calculators do you need?
So it was when that phase.
You failed maths, didn't you?
Everyone wanted a calculator. It was like a trendy thing, wasn't it?
Right. Oh, yeah.
In Manchester a couple of years ago, yeah.
So, anyway, so I told her all this and I confessed to, like,
computers will make it there, won't they?
Confessed to
Nick. It is magic in the back of battery.
Go on.
Confessed to Nick and all this stuff. She comes round. She only wanted to borrow some money.
Brilliant.
She said, oh, I don't like asking. I was a bit embarrassed to ask you over the phone, but can I borrow 20 quid?
Oh, that's fantastic.
And there's me.
That's great.
And it's similar sort of thing to yours.
And did you-
And he went, hold on, let's just work out the interest on that. I bank 10%. She'll owe you £4.40.
Oh, so your mum was a loan shark.
Yeah.
Did she mention she went,
No.
She went, no worries, I'll just go and get my purse, it's on the dressing table.
Exactly, yeah.
Carl!
Do you want a cigar?
What are the things that you used to give away at your disco then that you'd find on the dressing table? You used to go into your parents' room and go, what can I give away tonight?
It was stuff like cigars. Yeah. I'd like cigars.
Yeah.
I had a pair of tights.
What do you mean?
Unopened. You know, you get them in like a long-
Who did you give that to?
Just whoever did the prize. It was stuff like, you know, we did like a little raffle.
Just imagine Carl going there just for a pair.
Who's going joyriding
this
week?
Pretty Polly, Sheer. Exactly.
Yeah, he was doing a bank job this week.
Exactly, that's what it was used for, yeah.
Just little bits of, you know, unopened makeup, just stuff like that.
And did their parents not notice?
Nah. Because it's stuff that you're not that bothered about. If a telly went missing, they'd notice it.
They would, wouldn't they? They'd be staring at a wall for 3 days.
But a pair of tights and a cigar and that, yeah. Got away with it.
Yeah.
But it's funny as well, because, like, you had two names, I just, like, remembered. I started off as, Dazzling Darren's Disco, just because the first lights I could afford belonged to someone who had their name put in lights.
Right.
So I went along with that name for a bit.
You had to pretend you were called Darren.
That's lovely.
That's great.
Is it worth it?
Brilliant.
And then it went on to Pilkins making music.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyway, should we have some more music?
Cause yeah,
we've been waiting for
hours. What are you going to play, Carl?
We've got the Cooper Temple Claws.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, Steve Merchant
Steve
here.
Merchant.
Steve Merchant.
Yeah. Okay, don't keep saying it.
Carl. And, Carl, obviously, yeah.
Stop fiddling, Carl. We've been digging around in Carl's office, haven't we?
As ever, Rick.
He's a little bit nervous about this.
Well,
but he doesn't need to be.
I don't think he is.
You
because
just need to trust us, Carl. Just trust us. Trust us with the music. Trust us with the speech output. Trust us.
Yeah.
That's easy for me to say.
Yeah. But I'm conscious, Rick, that sometimes perhaps we're a little ill-prepared on the show. And I just wanted to make sure that we were sort of keeping ourselves abreast of developments, changes at the station, policy.
You said breast.
Thanks. You know, policies particularly, and I was lucky enough just to stumble across this, and I feel that actually a couple of weeks back we were a little ill-prepared, because we hadn't read this.
Yeah.
This is the XFM, information. It's the guidelines, if you will.
Sure.
On how to react to deaths, disasters, and other news emergencies.
Yeah, and there's very important ones, like
important
a royal death, there's like, you know.
Well, there's certain criteria. I mean, obviously, the general guidelines state that occasionally something will happen in the world that prompts XFM to break away from the normal programming and react to our audience's feelings of shock or grief.
Mm.
As broadcasters, we have a duty to think carefully
about- They're not talking about our show, though, are they? They're talking about something happening.
No, all shows.
No, not people being caused grief, just Carl's on the air.
Right.
You mean like, you know-
I mean a bigger event.
A royal dying.
A royal darling or some kind of, you know, major disaster.
Sure.
We should be able to tailor our output to show that we feel the same way as the audience in these times of trouble.
No, definitely.
That would never involve the station shutting down completely, Rick.
No.
I want to reassure you of that now. And it would never involve playing classical music or stopping all speech content.
Sure. Because a lot of, because they put that in there because a lot of stations, that's exactly what they do.
Exactly.
But, XFM have deemed it, that we don't have to go completely down the line there. We have to do it in our own
way.
Well,
people need company at times like this.
Yeah.
And should be able to look to us for both factual information and emotional reaction.
Sure.
We simply have to change our tone and our playlist to show that we're all feeling the same thing.
Right.
Be it, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening, or, well, it's pretty sad, but she was 101 after all.
And that's actually in that
document, what
isn't
it actually says in the general guidelines. That's as they are stated. If you should hear about the death of a major royal, this is information that
you're actually reading this, by the way.
Yeah, I'm reading this out. What you should do is say nothing about this on air under any circumstances. Drop all the ads and promos from your schedule. And if Chris Smith, the news guy, is in the building, get him in the studio immediately.
Yeah.
That's what it says, Carl.
Yeah.
If Smitty is I don't care where he is, I don't care if he's on holiday.
Let's phone him up now and tell him someone's died.
To see how he would react.
Get
him down here.
Get him down
here. See how long it takes him to get down here. Where does Smitty live?
Because I know where he lives. He lives in a cave and he slides down a pole.
Yeah.
And he gets into a car. His butler is up there and he sorts things out.
I suppose the approach there is that only Chris can deliver this tragic news.
Yeah.
If it was you or I.
Yeah, it wouldn't have the same. Do you remember the XFM, as it first started, it launched the day after, Princess Diana died.
I know.
And I'd never done radio before. I was nervous enough.
Mm.
And it was launched, and it was, oh, how-
Because was it the first night, because what I've forgotten actually until you mentioned that then is, of course, you used to host your own phone-in show.
God.
I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
and I gave that up after a week because it was just too stressful.
I have never seen a man so petrified.
I know.
He spent all his time preventing people getting through on the phone lines.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't let people come on air.
When I had to go on air, right, my mates sort of like came over the first day and they were mucking around and I was having a drink with them where I used to work and I was going, I've got to go on air in a minute. And I was like drinking shandy or something because I was saying I didn't want to be drunk. And I kept saying, don't swear. Telling my mates not to swear. They look at me like I was mental. I was going, don't swear, because I'll swear. I was terrified of two things. Just swearing.
By mistake.
And operating the desk. I thought, I'm gonna, even if I get through operating the desk, I'm gonna swear. And it just, it was awful.
Didn't you spill coffee over the machine and then go, oh shit? On your first link. I can't remember. But no. I know it wasn't a triumph.
No, I started off with I was doing a lot of music and I started off with a classical piece by a bloke called Kuntz, who's a German composer.
Brilliant.
So I knew it was okay.
You're
then.
Off. You're
I
off.
Was off, yeah.
And so how did it go then? Because I remember it was appalling.
Look, Carl! He's a composer! Look it up!
Yeah, I know he is.
Right, 08700-800-1234. Yeah. If you know what the composer I'm talking about. What?
Yeah. We've done it now.
Chill out, Carl.
Come on.
You know what people are like?
What?
They take things badly, don't they?
Like what?
You just... It's like a bull to a red rag, whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is that we say bad words and we get in trouble, but I was listening to Heart, the other day, and they played Luther Vandross, and, that song, was it, Never Too Much, Never Too Much, play a bit, the lyric in this is disgusting. Hear that? Woke up today, looked at your picture just to get me started.
That is
That's filthy. Play it again. Woke up today, looked at your picture
just to get me started. That
That's
is
just
depraved.
Filthy. What a filthy.
What I mean, is he doing?
Just saying like that. Imagine that. He's got a young girl's picture and he's going, oh, thanks for that. And he phones up and goes, what did today? You know that picture you gave me? She goes, yeah. He goes, well, I looked at it just to get me started. That poor young woman.
I imagine more that, like, she's sleeping, and he just sneaks in and just, he's got to put her on camera, she wakes up, he goes, what are you doing? She goes, what are you up to? He goes, no, I'm just taking a picture. Well, why? I'm gonna write a song about it.
We'll be here tomorrow, are we?
Yeah, you're going on holiday tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I need that.
I just need something to get me started. What do you mean, get you started? Yeah, you know, in the morning.
And then that's on Heart.
Mm. All right.
6.2.
So don't come on air and tell us what we can't say
classical composers' names or philosophers like Kant.
Exactly.
So don't tell us that, Carl.
All right.
Just play a record. What you got, Steve?
Play some Ride, Steve.
Yeah, I just think it's time that we listen to some Ride, Rick. We haven't listened to them. I don't know about you and I, but I haven't listened to them, to any for about 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
Just thought it'd be good to have them on the air again. Yeah. And it's a tragedy they split up. This is the classic Chelsea girl. Play it. Absolute glory. Lifetime.
I know. Yeah.
Like, it's a great sound.
But influenced lots of bands at
it
that time.
Yeah,
sort of the old Britpop thing and the Wall of Sound They weren't. Were they shoegazers? Do you think they were? Weren't they?
Well, that's what they thought of because there was a lot of noodly guitar. But good melodies as well, Rick, and that's always important.
It is to me.
I don't know about you, Carl, but it is important to us.
Yeah. We've just had a couple of people, Sarah and Claire, call up and wish us luck for the BAFTAs, but for some reason, they want one of us to do an impression of Leslie Phillips.
Can't do it.
Doesn't he
say ding dong?
And hello, and all that.
That's not bad.
I want Carl to do it though.
Yeah, go on, Carl.
Go on.
Hello.
Well done. Say ding dong.
Ding dong.
Nice.
Yeah. Do any other impressions?
No. I can't think of any.
Hello. Do that.
Hello.
Yeah.
You look like a ventriloquist dummy.
Hello. Yeah,
brilliant.
Oh, God.
Do, my name is Bond, James Bond, as though it were Sean Connery.
My name's Bond. James Bond. Do that. Go on.
My name's Bond.
No, do it as though you were doing an impression.
Sean.
So I'm trying to be Scottish?
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, sort of.
Perhaps a bit more specific than that. Sean Connery.
My name's Bond.
Keep going.
James Bond, James Bond.
Look, Jimmy Stewart, it's not like this. This is the best fun. It's like having your very own Fisher Price toy for 2 hours a week. It's great. Roger Moore. Do that.
Roger Moore.
Phyllis Pierce, Percy Sugden, I'm licensed to kill.
Anyway, she just said.
No, this is a great game.
No, yeah, no, we'll come back to this another time.
Yeah, maybe. anything you want Carl to do. Yeah. Carl's homework today was come up with those, you know, those lateral thinking things.
Go on.
Those stupid.
Oh, I hate them.
They're ridiculous, aren't they? Like they, a man went into a field and died, and you're meant to ask questions like, oh, was it, and it turns out his parachute didn't open. So it's basically, it's not logic, it's what am I thinking?
Yeah. Well, there's that one where there's a man in, this is the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah.
A man is found dead lying in a phone box, yeah. Right? His wrists are cut,
mm.
He's bled to death, and there's glass everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And the phone's hanging off the hook,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
I know this, yeah.
Right? Do you know what the answer is, Carl?
It's ridiculous.
He was a fisherman.
Yeah.
He was on the phone. Someone asked him how big his fish was. He did that gesture like fishermen always do to say it was much bigger than it actually
was. Put his arms out.
His arms went through the glass and he slashed his wrists and he died.
Why would you do that with someone on the phone when they can't see how big you're actually saying?
Well, that's one of the many problems with that, that conundrum.
Yeah, not the point we were making, but again, good. I mean, you're there. That is good thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so what, you had to come up with some of these? I didn't know this was his challenge.
Yeah.
Have you come up with one?
I came up with three, and they're all belters.
Are we gonna,
Oh, wow, that's
if it's as good as your quote about happiness that we had to guess which was yours and which was the real ones, like faking it, I cannot wait.
I'm looking forward to this.
I mean, I literally can't wait. Should we do it now?
Well, I'm tempted to save it because I just want to mention to people that they should be very excited because it's going to be Carl's special night tomorrow. You excited, Carl?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is, yeah, me and Steve, because we were nominated, we get a guest.
For the BAFTA Awards.
And it's, it doesn't say guest, it actually says, you know, partner. So I'm taking my partner and Steve's taking Carl.
Yeah.
But what Carl doesn't realise is, you will have to pretend you're his partner, otherwise you wouldn't be able
to. Well, that's the whole hands on the red carpet.
Is this really your partner? It's not just a guest. They have
that's how it is. And either we go in like that or we can't get in.
You have to, you just have to be with him when you go up there. I mean, you have to, does he have to hold
it? We should hold hands. But I think what we should do is just to make sure that there's nothing at all that, like, it's gonna go wrong, we should just do a little kiss.
Just like, and
or
be seen sort of like cheek to cheek, just to show them that, you know, you're not, he's
like
Elton
John and David.
He's not just getting his mates in for a free meal, you are actually partners.
No, I'm not up for that.
Why not?
Well,
because we know we're not actually gay.
No, but yeah, but
so it's not a problem.
You've come out of it looking quite good because you've got a good-looking fella. But I'm meant to look like, you know, I mean, I'm not gay, but if I was, I don't think I'd go for your thing.
Oh, he's done you, Steve! It's turned on you again!
I cannot believe!
We were trying to get in.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I have got the cream of London's Totty phoning me up, trying to get an invite to the BAFTAs, right? We have very graciously asked you if you would like to come along.
Well, that worries me even more, that you've got women calling you up.
Carl.
Carl, I can't choose between them. If I let one of them down, I'm gonna, they're gonna destroy them. They'll be ruined, their lives will be ruined. It's better for me to take you and not, you know, ruin the lives of any of those poor
women. When he told them he was taking you, it was like a scene from Graceland. There was just like,
there was weeping.
They were crying. Like
it was horrible.
Hundreds of them, and he just went. And
I got upset.
He just had to say, "Look, just chill out, bitches," didn't you?
I did. I just said, "You know, you're all my hoes, but I can't choose between you."
So I'm taking Carl.
So I'm taking Carl.
You know, he could get you a discount frocks.
No, I had a letter from the people that there's a
organization.
No, listen, Carl. There's an organization that sponsors the BAFTA Awards in terms of clothes and fashion. They've sent me a letter. They said your partner. They've not specified the sex. They've said your partner can come along and choose an outfit. Now I suspect. By the look of it, it is a woman's outfitters. I'm thinking we could get you a lovely trouser suit.
Well, you have
it may look feminine, right? But I think people will be fooled.
It'd just, be a little bit roomy in the hip and probably now on the shoulders. But you're a bit skinny. Why don't you take it? Because it's a lot of an insult.
And maybe just some pearls as well. Be lovely.
I haven't got anything sorted to wear yet.
See, you're slagging me off. You're likely to end up going in a tracksuit.
Yeah.
I'm going out today. I've never bought a suit since I was like 11, right? I went to my brother's wedding. That's the last time I wore a suit.
Right.
Really? And you can't get anywhere near it now, can you?
Can't get into that.
No.
Anymore.
No.
That was a good day.
What was it? What sort of suit was it?
It was like a sort of a grey silver one.
Excellent.
Quite flary. Nice.
Well, try and go for something similar.
A silver one. Just think that, with your little round head, what did that look like?
I looked all right.
Like he'd landed from the.
Yeah, just landed on it. Like, who's the most.
They walk among
us. I didn't really need to wear a suit either, because I hardly went into the church. Was in the car park, right? And it's when my brother was in the army, and he had a Ford Capri with one of them horns that goes.
And you just sat there.
Why didn't he come in his tank?
I just sat in that doing that all day, and the vicar was getting well annoyed with me.
What, when the service was on?
Yeah. It was
brilliant.
Driving everyone
well,
up the
do
wall.
You, were you just allowed to do what you wanted when you were growing up? Like Nelson Muntz from The Simpsons, didn't matter, was there any discipline? You didn't have teachers, you didn't, why didn't someone come out and-
I got a couple of good hidings off me dad a couple of times.
What for?
Just being mopey most of the time. If I had a strop on, he'd hate that.
He'd go out and burn something down or nick something, but don't- wander around with your head down. Well. Didn't he smack you for not liking a castle once?
Yeah.
No, with that.
Went to Carnarvon for the day, and I was bored. I was at that age when I just wanted to go in an arcade, and my dad was saying, come and see the castle, you know, there's history here. And I still don't like castles. It's one of them things that, again, just too far back to sort of even think about people living in them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I was just like, look, it's a wreck, you know, knock it down, flatten the thing.
Sure.
And I was being really
mopey. Isn't that great?
And it's weird, because now, like, my mum and dad have retired and gone to Wales.
Yeah.
And now and again, he texts me there, and every time we get to the point where he gave me a clout, he goes, are you getting flashbacks, son?
Yeah. Well, it's a sobering lesson for you.
Yeah.
You're not on the British Heritage Committee anymore, are you? Yeah. This is the National Trust land tarmac it. The biggest car park in Britain, for Christ's sake.
So look, you're looking forward to the awards, are you, tomorrow? You better say yes, because otherwise.
No, it'll be all right. I mean, I've told a couple of people, and they got like, God, you're dead lucky.
Yeah.
But in a way.
Oh, they're dead lucky. It's like Santa's coming, isn't it?
It's
the way people talk to Carl, you're a lucky boy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Going to the BAFTAs with Steve.
It's just a posh raffle at the end of the day, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
In a sense.
It's, you know, there's gonna be some.
They give away some tights and cigars.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's Chris Tower. It goes, I went to my parents' house, I found these just lying around.
Oh, but winners and losers, and,
food. Well, quite, yeah, but what is exciting, surely, is the razzmatazz and the, brushing shoulders with the rich and famous.
I'm not into that.
You're not?
No.
I don't feel you're gonna appreciate this, like we thought
it's
you
weird, because Suzanne said to me this morning, who would you like to meet there?
Yeah.
Is there anyone who, like, you know, you can get close to, and it's like, God, you know, I really admire your, you know, big fanny or whatever.
And it's me and Steve, so you're here now.
Well, you know,
I really admire your big fanny. I didn't.
What did you say?
What did you say?
You know, if you're a big fan of anyone.
Oh right.
Oh right. Yeah.
And
sorry,
there isn't anyone really. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't
like,
there?
You know, you two are all right.
Thanks.
Jonathan Ross, is he going?
He might do. I don't know.
But hang on a minute. I can't help but feel we could have exploited this more. We could have maybe run a competition to let someone win. You know, if you're not going to appreciate it, Carl.
Yeah. Are you going to get a trouser suit? Are you going to get a lady's trouser suit? I just think then if you go sort of like looking macho and walking down with him, you know, they know that you're not really partners. And I just think it's a slap in the face for BAFTA.
That's true enough.
No, it doesn't matter what you wear though.
Can't you mince a little bit? Can't you at least sort of walk a little bit mincy? Because you've got such a macho mank walk.
Elton John's fella doesn't look gay and the stuff he wears and that, does he? Do you know what I mean? It means nothing.
No, but that's because Elton's doing the work for him.
No, but
by dressing as like some kind of restoration dame.
Yeah, I love the fact he dressed as Anne Widdecombe for special occasions. And his hair done like her. That's great.
Anyway, music.
This is a very underrated album. It's Richard Ashcroft's Alone With Everybody. And I know it got a bit of a slag and it didn't sell as well as it was because people were going, oh, it's no Urban Hymns. And it maybe it's not, but he got criticised for being pop, but this is a great tune on here. You're My Mind In My Sleep. And I think it's really good. Ashcroft there. And, You Are My Mind In My Sleep. Is that one, Carl?
It's alright. Yeah.
Good, okay.
Nothing.
What I did want to do is, I want to play some, adverts now. Just There Goes The Fear on XFM 104.9. Well, into the last hour, and then only two more shows.
That's true enough.
And we're away for 3 months. I'm Ricky Gervais.
Obviously, yeah.
Steve Merchant. Little Carl. Now, Carl. His homework was to come up with those stupid lateral thinking problems.
We maybe should give an example of the,
Romeo and Juliet, right? Romeo's asleep on the bed, Juliet's on the floor, covered in water and broken glass. What happened? And you ask all these stupid questions, and it's Romeo's a cat and Juliet's a goldfish.
Again, awful.
What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on then, Carl.
Right, first one.
Yeah.
There's a bloke lying on the floor, right? He's cut his head, blood's coming out of his head, and all his mates come running up, and they're all stood round him.
Yeah.
And, they don't take their hats off to, as a mark of respect.
That is outrageous.
Why didn't they take their hats off?
Oh, I'm laughing, but it's probably as good as the real
absolutely.
Ones.
Oh, absolutely.
No, these are really good.
Did you make them all up?
Yeah.
No, I mean, did you make up all the ones that already exist?
No.
That would make a lot of sense.
Right. A bloke's fallen with his, yeah.
He's lying on the floor.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
His mates come running up.
Wasn't it important that his head was cut?
I don't know. I mean,
would it have been okay if he'd have been wearing a hat? He wouldn't have been dead if he was wearing a hat.
Well, what's your answer?
No, you meant to answer a question. You don't just go, what's your answer? You say, where's the turn? So you go, no, and I have to guess. It's obviously like sort of a motorcycle stunt team or a parachute.
Why didn't they take their hats off?
Because they're probably still on the motorbikes or something, or...
Well, yeah, but if you mark a respect to someone, you could take your helmet off.
Getting angry!
What? They're parachutists.
Why can't they take their helmets off?
Because they're still
coming down from the sky.
But he's on the floor dead.
Well, yeah, but they can look down and see him on the floor.
Are they on the floor, Carl?
They're on the floor as
well. They're walking, are they?
Yeah, well, they sort of stood there looking at him.
They're stood there.
Yeah.
They're stood on the floor looking
at him. They're soldiers.
Why? But why? If
they're soldiers. Because it might be in a battle zone. They might have their helmets on and he's been shot in the head.
No.
Well, that does work. You see, this is my point. That one works. That one works. Unless you've given us a piece of information where that doesn't work. What's the difference? Why is yours different to he's been shot in the head in the trenches and they're looking at him and they keep their helmets on?
I just don't think it matters as much. If they're in the trench, they're already guarded a little bit. So they could take their hats off. It's the best mate, for God's sake.
Okay, he's dwelling on this. Are they normal hats?
What kind of hats are they?
No! Don't get ratty!
What kind of hats are they? Baseball hats?
If I told you what sort of hats they are, you'd have the answer.
Wow! Okay, I've got to guess what sort of a hat it is then, have I?
Right.
Is it a trilby?
No.
Is it a bowler?
I know what it is.
What?
They're spacemen.
No. Oh, that's a good one.
That one works as well. This is my point.
I like that one a lot.
It works. He's fallen on the moon, and there are not that the moon happened. It was set up, wasn't it, in the studio? We know that, yeah. Okay, Carl, what's your answer?
Builders on a building site.
Why is that different to soldiers?
Because bricks don't fall in wars.
But bullets fly!
Right, next one.
No, let's play a record and we'll come back to it, Carl, while you think about what you've done.
Oh, yeah. You've embarrassed yourself.
Let's play some classic Suede.
Yeah, and this is for David and Kieran, I think, who wanted a bit of butler at his best.
Come on, crack it on.
I hate you, butler.
Coming next, your next lateral problem number two. Brilliant.
Suede there.
Indeed.
I think their second or third single.
Brilliant.
All the way back. 10 years ago.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Metal Mickey. Mm-hmm. On XFM 104.9.
Was it 10 years ago?
Must have been, wasn't it? Wow. I think, was Drowners 91? I think so.
Drums.
Yeah. Go on.
Right.
Go on then, Carl.
Second one then. This is a bit easier, but I still think it's a good one.
So this is, we should explain what this is if you've just tuned in.
It's, one of those stupid lateral thinking problems.
That Carl himself has created.
Yeah. That was his homework.
Right, this one. It's a fella, he has a normal day, doing stuff. Nothing wrong with him, right? And...
It's the twist in the tower, it's just like Towers of the Unexpected. Yeah. Just a normal day, nothing wrong with him. Hold on though, he's got the legs of a fish! Go on.
So,
that's why he's been hiding his legs.
So
go on.
He does his
normal... The legs of a fish?
Sorry, Carl, carry on.
He has his working day and that, and then he gets a bit tired. Oh. Mm. Goes to bed, he puts the light on, leaves it on, goes to bed.
Oh.
That's crazy.
That's mental, I can't think what's happened. Anyway, here's Radiohead. right, okay. The question is why does he put the light on when he's going to bed?
He's had a normal day, he's come home from work. Is that right, he's come home from work or he's not been working,
he's just been out? No, he's been working and stuff, I think.
You think? You've made it up, Carl, you can decide.
So the question is why has he put the light on when he's asleep? There's a reason that he's put the light on when he's asleep.
Has he gone to sleep?
No, Carl, don't shrug. You're meant to answer these questions.
He put the light on before he went to bed.
Yeah, and the question and you're asking me is why? What's the scenario?
And the light's on and yeah. that, but he's gone to sleep.
Yeah.
He started reading and then he fell asleep.
No.
Did he intentionally, for some reason, put the light on?
Every night. It's mad. Sounds mad.
that's Carl, doesn't it?
Every night he does it.
Yeah.
He puts the light on when he goes to sleep.
Carl, is the point of this, he puts the light on for a very good reason.
Not for us, but for some people.
He's blind and it's always been on and he thinks he's turning it off, but it was on in the day and he thinks he's turning it off, but he's turning it on because he's blind.
No, that'd be stupid.
That works.
No, that works great, Rick.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl. So you've got to come up with
a hang on. If you're blind, why would you put a light on?
No, he thinks he's off.
Yeah.
But why would he turn it on anyway?
To think so he doesn't get burgled, so people know he's in because he can't see him. So he just like, he puts the light on when he's there, then he turns the light off when he goes to bed. So people think it's fine. But he's got it out of kilter, and actually he's walking around in the dark all day.
I don't believe that if you're blind you turn your light on.
I don't think you'd be living on your own, would you?
I'm not having that for a second.
Do blind people live on their own?
I'm not having that for a second.
Well, some people do. Lonely blind people live on their own.
No, if you got bad eyes.
And even women? Are there any blind women who are living on their own? No, I mean, if you know of some blind women.
Oh, wait, 700, 800, 1, 2, 3, 4. We've gone through this.
If you are a blind woman
with no standards and you don't care annoying voices and smell,
yeah,
then get in touch with you.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be within the ages of, say, 25 to 65. You know,
right.
Well, say, call it 75.
You're fussy. You're fussy all of a sudden.
I know.
Yeah, go on.
If you were blind, would you live in London? Because someone said yesterday there was one struggling outside in Leicester Square. And I don't understand if you would.
Might have been a tourist.
But why come to London if you're blind? It's the worst place in the world to come if you're blind.
To hear the sights.
To hear the sights.
It's a bit mad, isn't it?
They do the same job.
They have tourist needs like anyone else.
Yeah.
No, but it sort of stinks, and you'd go away going, "Oh, it's not that good." I just thought that I thought it was a bit weird.
Well, never mind your concern for the. Partially sighted or sight impaired people coming to London. Get on with this.
Yeah. So there he is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, a bit tired.
Yeah.
Just put the light on, get to bed.
Yeah. So he turns the light on and he goes to bed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Should we play a track?
He's not sleeping on the job, he's a lighthouse keeper.
Well done.
Is he a lighthouse
keeper? That's not it, Carl.
He's a lighthouse keeper.
Right, why wasn't the light on all the time?
Because it's light in the day.
You idiot. Play a record.
What?
Play a record. You're a buffoon.
No, actually, the light isn't on in the day, is it?
No, Rick? It's not.
I think you're the buffoon.
Yeah.
Carl has won!
Hey! Dead on my head, wasting time on my own.
Hundred Reasons and Silver on XFM 104.9. I love the fact that Carl went a little bit mental then. So happy that he thinks that a lighthouse keeper pops the light on at the same time every- Are you telling me it was never foggy?
Everyone has a routine in the job.
And why was he going home from work knackered? What had he been doing all day?
He never said he went home knackered.
He did. He said he went home. He's just done a day's work. He said he went home knackered and puts the light on and goes to sleep. That's what he said.
Yeah, but he's maybe a part-time lighthouse keeper.
Oh, what does he do? Works in the library, does he, as well?
Now, listen, Rick. I'm really with Carl here.
What?
He definitely got you. He stitched
anyway,
you
got
up
it right.
Right and proper.
Anyway, I got it
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but then you embarrass yourself by
he's
saying that-
stupid.
But
you- He's stupid.
You would never put a lighthouse light on during the day.
What's your next one?
I've been painting it that day.
Oh, had he?
Extra shattered.
Right, okay.
The next one, last one this.
Yeah.
Lateral thinking.
Lateral yeah. thinking.
And you've written this yourself? You've had yeah. no help from anyone?
No, I've come up with these on my own.
Okay.
Right, last one.
Yeah.
This bloke,
This bloke's
got a brother that is, never met, right? They got separated at birth.
Right.
You know, anyway, he gets a letter in the post.
Yeah.
He says, oh, I tracked you down.
Yeah.
Meet me at the airport.
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as he gets to the airport, yeah. he goes, there he is, and he goes walking over. How did he know that was his brother? He'd never seen a
picture.
They
were twins. They looked exactly the same.
They're born the same day.
No, Steve's got it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So he knew they were born on the same day, so he knew they were twins, yeah.
I didn't say they were born on the same day, did I?
No. No, I'm just reiterating.
They would be, though, if they looked identical.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, well, we've got you there, Carmic.
Yeah.
Mm. You're quite upset about that. That was one out of three, though. That's
what about this, then? Do you know that when, two brothers born on the same day of the same mother and the same father, but they weren't twins? Why?
Say that one again.
Two brothers.
Yeah.
Are born on the same day of the same mother and father, but they weren't twins. Why not? This is good radio.
You see, the problem is I heard you saying to Steve, I'm gonna do that one about the shark in the pool, so I'm trying to think.
This has nothing to do with that one, though, is it? Clearly.
Give him the answer, Rick.
The answer is they were two of triplets.
Right.
I had another brother. So yeah. Do you want to hear the one about the shark in the swimming pool?
Yeah.
Okay. A bloke, just in his swimming trunks, walks into a swimming pool full of man-eating sharks. He walks around for a bit and slowly gets out the other side, and he's not bitten or anything. Why not?
Because they'd already eaten.
No, they're starving, hungry.
He walked through the water.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a bridge.
No, he actually was in the water, soaking wet, the sharks.
He had like a metal suit on?
No, naked apart from swimming trunks.
There were real sharks.
Real sharks.
Swimming about.
They swimming were, sharks. Man eating, hungry, yeah.
They were really hungry.
Yeah.
This fella gets into the same pool.
Yeah.
It's the same pool.
Exactly.
He walks right, he gets in the steps,
yeah.
He walks down, he walks
yeah.
across.
Yeah.
He's in the water.
Yeah.
Up to his neck.
Yeah.
And the sharks are near him.
Yeah, they're attacking him.
They're attacking him?
They're actually attacking him.
But he still gets out, okay.
Yeah. Walks out the other side. And he's not, hasn't got a mark on him.
I don't know.
Go on, Rick, what's the answer?
Yeah, I was lying about the sharks.
There weren't any sharks.
No,
there.
I was lying about the sharks. Completely lying, just made up. Just an empty pool.
That's just stupid.
That's our point! They're rubbish.
Oh, dear. Oh.
Oh, dear.
His face!
He's so offended.
Oh! Confended and confused.
Come on, play a song.
No, go on then.
Good Fortune, PJ Harvey on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, obviously. Steve, Carl. I've got a real one for you. This is a logic question, not a stupid one. Just very quickly.
Go on.
10 black balls in a bag and 10 white balls in a bag.
Mm.
Yeah. How many balls do you have to pull out to ensure you've got a pair of the same colour?
Well, what's stopping you putting your hand in and pulling out?
Jesus.
Because
I asked for the minimum number. So how many do you have to pull out to ensure you've got a pair? That doesn't say all of them, that'll
right.
ensure it.
No,
what's the minimum number you have
11.
To pull out?
11. Because if the
why do you need 11?
What? Because
there's, no, go
there's,
on.
There's 10 black balls, 10 yeah. white balls, yeah?
Yeah.
Say if you're, for some reason, you pulled out all the 10 black balls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You'd have a pair, wouldn't you?
You'd have a pair.
After the first two?
Yeah.
So what's the minimum number you have to pull out to ensure?
Two.
No, because you might pull a white one and a black one.
Yeah, but I don't understand what you're saying.
Sometimes I get that impression, the way you look at me like Helen from Big Brother.
Yeah, but
I've always assumed that.
Look, right.
What's the minimum number you have to pull out to ensure you have two of the same colour?
Three.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can use that one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
So what's the minimum number you have to pull out to ensure you have four of the same colour?
Oh, God. Eight.
Was that a guess?
I don't know. I understand the first one. We've done it now.
Okay, all right, we'll leave
it
there.
That. It's good.
Good. Okay. Now
White Van Carl?
This is, yeah, this is where we-
Oh, it's too much.
It's easy to see
Venus flytrap. His eyebrows sort of went down while you were doing that face. He genuinely looked pained.
It's like you're back at school, isn't it?
He's starting to get hard work now.
Okay, we just do white van car then. This is your opinions. You can't be wrong on this, can you?
There's no right or wrong answer here.
Okay.
Right. But so this is where we ask Carl his views on the big news stories of the week. Basically, we've stolen an idea from the Sun newspaper, and
so this isn't cruel, this program, is it?
I don't think so.
Picking on me?
It's not, is it?
It's weird because a few people have said, "Oh, you're picking on me." It depends how you look at things, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure.
Yeah. But you do you like it?
We could look at it like it's a laugh, so it's not a problem for us.
You know, we like you. You know, you're our favourite.
Yeah.
I'm going to say thing in the world, but I don't mean that. You know. In a derogatory way.
No, I'm cool with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so, your views, please, on the fact that, attitudes are changing to the possible marriage of Charles and Camilla.
Oh, what do you think of that?
The roars at the moment, because the recent tragedies are, apparently, high in the polls, and people are coming around to the idea of Charles and Camilla getting hitched. What's your thought?
Whatever, really. I mean, if they're happy with it. The thing that comes out of it most is it just goes to show, right, that there is someone for everyone. Just because, I mean, no disrespect to Camilla, I'm not a good-looking person either, but she isn't a stunner, and yet she's gone and picked up a royal. Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's good for things like that to happen, because it cheers you up, do you know what I mean? Gives you a bit of hope.
Thanks, Carl.
So, yeah, it's good. You know, if they're happy. If anyone's happy, it's a good story, innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's had a bit of bad luck. And now he's got someone else in his life, so.
While he's doing this, I'm just doing a list of questions to ask him what he thinks of things in the world.
Okay.
Is that alright?
Yeah, no problem. Okay, what do you, make of, well, now listen, this may be a non-story, or it may be the biggest story that's about to break. Ulrika Johnson and Sven Goran Eriksson's affair. Are you familiar with this? It's over the papers today. Apparently, Ulrika and Sven are going out, although there appears to be no evidence for this.
Yeah, I don't even give it time of day.
You're not quite right, well done.
Doesn't affect me whatsoever, as long as he does his job well.
Yep.
And what's she doing at the moment?
Presenting Dog Eat Dog, I think.
Right, you know.
As long as she does her job well.
As long as they both do their jobs well.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, that's going on with a lot of people out in the world, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Just because he's an England boss, as long as, you know, we win the games and that, he's doing his job.
Mm, mm.
If she's, you know, gets a dog winning a prize or whatever.
No. Okay. It's not worth it. Go on.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's a dog winning a prize.
I haven't seen Dog Eat Dog. What's
okay.
it about?
It's alright. It's
right,
no, go on.
So that's it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay. What about this then? Are you disappointed by the nation that a third of us are apparently unaware of St. George's Day?
23rd.
Is St. George's Day the one with the snakes that we've talked about?
No, that's.
Are you one of that third, do you think?
St. George is the patron saint of England who killed the dragon.
Yeah, I mean, there's too many of these days, isn't there? That's the problem. If you make it a bit more special, like Christmas, or you buy presents and that for each other, then people will remember it. But there's so many of these days, with Easter and Pancake Tuesday and all that. So, it's not surprising. I think as time goes on, we'll find that a lot of these days will just disappear, because, you know, people are busy.
There'll be new ones, won't there?
I don't know, people
There'll
are
be like
busy.
Gareth Gates Day in 50 years' time.
It's just weird. I mean, I remember being a kid, right? Going out on a Sunday and shops would be shut because it was like, you know, the day of rest and all that. People don't care now. It's like, well, we can make some more money, we'll open the shops.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Is that a good or a bad thing, Carl?
It's good, because I remember I used to have to get up early to go and get some bread if we didn't have any in. Because the shop would only be open for a couple of hours in the morning.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'd be able to
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Shops are, and you couldn't get aspirin and stuff,
exactly.
certain things.
Yeah, nightmare
yeah.
on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's right, yeah. And pubs didn't open until 12.
Do you remember space operas?
Yeah. Yeah, shut up. Can I ask you something?
Go on.
Okay, I've got a little list of things. What do you think of, like, those pug dogs that are bred and they can hardly breathe?
Evil.
Yeah. What do you think of, gays?
They're alright. Do you know what I mean? Just like straight people, you get bad ones, you get good ones.
Exactly.
Hey?
We've learnt a lesson today, haven't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
Let's play a record.
Yeah? What do you fancy, a bit of Radiohead?
Yeah.
You don't mind, though, if people think we're gay, for instance, when we go to the BAFTAs tomorrow?
No, that's terrible. I don't want that happening.
Why?
Hey?
Why?
Because I'm not. That'd be a lie. I don't like lying. If I was, I'd say I was gay.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
We'll say you were. Just pretend.
We won't get in otherwise.
No.
Just a little kiss and a cuddle.
So I'm a bit gay.
No. Well, I'm not gay.
On XFM 104.9. Wow, near the end of the show, isn't it? You had a good time, Carl?
It's been alright. I knew it wasn't going to be a belter today.
Why? What do you mean? What's up with it?
Because what happens, the last 2 weeks have been quite good and we always tend to have two good ones and then one that's just alright.
Well, let the listening public be the judge of that.
Well, yeah, and the Sony committee.
Yeah, what do you want to do? A clip show of the best. We should do that for our last show. People should vote for their favourite hilarious link.
Yeah.
And then we can put it together on a tape. Like, is there a record out there that wants to release the bit, like, I love.
Including such favourites as, do you like gays?
And, this lad, he had a horse.
Yeah.
Oh. I scored once, I was stung by a bee. and who can forget? That's lovely. Should you do that? Can you, have you kept all these on tape?
Yeah.
So can you do a compilation? Oh, people
hard,
phone in.
It's hard work,
no, this, the next 2 weeks, phone in for your favourite clip. How can they get hold of you, Carl, in the week? What's your email?
It's my name with xfm.co.uk.
So, Carl Pilkington.
Carl.Pilkington.
Carl.
With a K. Carl with a K.
Yeah. Carl.Pilkington at xfm.co.uk.
Yeah.
Vote your favourite link of the last 3 months. We should make a little compilation and sell it. And we get like Radiohead. They'd love to be on the compilation with us, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Right, do you know, like, you're always giving me questions in the week, you're always saying things like, if I put you in this situation, what would you do?
Like what?
Bizarre things.
Like what, though? Say one.
If you had to lick Barbara Cartland's face,
yeah,
would it be the right cheek or the left cheek?
Does Barbara want her face being licked? No, I'm just saying if that's what she's into, then
she's dead. She's dead, yeah.
So,
isn't she?
I don't think she
is. Just be careful, because you can't libel the dead, so I want to make sure she's dead before we start saying horrendous things.
But I don't think she is dead. I'm almost certain she's not.
I don't think so.
No, she's not.
Phone, is Barbara Cartland dead? 08700 800 1234.
We'll have to get Chris in. So listen, right? So anyway, he always calls up with, like, bizarre stuff like that. And I was watching a programme the other night about, snakes.
Right.
And, it was like, don't walk through a river that's full of snakes because...
Good work, good advice.
They if you've got a kid in the car or in the house, turn your radio down if you don't want them to hear stuff like this. But, yeah, they go for your tackle.
Why?
I don't know, they just do.
They think it's another little snake?
Maybe.
With swollen cheeks.
With earrings.
With earrings, yeah. Right,
so, or an anaconda in my case.
With one eye.
So, I'm really joking.
So and I said to Ricky, what would you do, right?
It's very scaly.
You two in the woods. You're having a wander, Steve.
Having a
wander.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You walk through the river.
What,
and,
me?
And, yeah.
Okay.
Because you're tall, so it's like you can check out how deep it is before Ricky goes through.
Right. Yeah?
Which you do that sometimes, don't you? Yeah.
But a snake bites your tackle.
Yep.
Yeah.
And-
Say penis.
Yeah.
It's the correct word for it. It's not offensive.
It doesn't sound nice.
Say it.
Penis, but I don't know.
Oh, you dirty little- dirty little slut, Carl.
It's just one of those words.
Right, yeah. Carry on with the- let's carry on. What's the story? I'm wandering through a river.
Yeah, and the snake
bites
your penis.
Yeah. Right.
And-
You know Ricky, like, doesn't leave, like, WC1? Why on earth we're gonna be anywhere near a river where there's sort of-
Well, anyway, get
snakes.
In, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You are in this situation.
Yeah.
Okay. The snake bites you, and I said to Ricky, if it was a matter of life or death, would you suck out the poison? What do you think he said? And the bit I made, because he was thinking about it, you know, like, oh God, well, he's, you know, he's my best mate and everything, what will I do? And I said, and then Steve starts sort of groaning like he's enjoying it.
I'm just trying to remember what I did do. What did happen in that instant?
Okay.
So I've been bitten on the penis by a snake.
Yeah, there's poison in
it. There's no poison in it.
Yeah.
I've had a go at trying to suck it out myself.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've never mastered that.
I've never been able to master that.
Yeah. It's just such a long spine and such a short, stubby knob that he's got no chance.
Yeah. So
what
I have to get.
He's even had lip extensions. I mean, yeah. Yeah, go on.
And would Ricky suck it out? Almost certainly not.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Yeah, he'd let me die a hideous, horrible death.
I'd go, is there anyone you want a towel? Do you want me to call your mum and dad?
Yeah.
How should I tell them you died? Is they tell them I died taking a bullet for a lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was beating up some, yeah, some nasty people.
Yeah. Would you at least run into the woods and try and find some kind of animal that could do it for me? Some of those monkeys look like they've got, you know, they've got a good technique.
Right.
Stop it.
One more song.
Yeah.
Only time for song for the what's it?
Oh, we've got to share this one then. But we're doing this
one. I thought there was two.
No, we've run out of time.
Well, this is for, this is in The Guardian because they printed my favourite song is If You See a Sailor. It's If You See a Say Hello by Bob Dylan.
Okay.
It's a song for the ladies and lovers.
Right, yeah. That's it.
And I can't believe we weren't allowed to talk about monkeys giving blowjobs. Since when is that taboo? It's nature, Carl!
They go absolutely mental.
They love it.